It is good to be here tonight, and we appreciate each one who is present. We have certainly had a good day, and we need to be thankful for that. So many visitors have been in our midst. Our contribution this morning for the fifth Sunday was outstanding, and so many good things are happening. We need to be thankful that God is blessing us in such a wonderful way. For the benefit of those of you who may be visiting tonight, we are in the process of studying a series of lessons dealing with the subject of growth. We have talked about quality growth and quantity growth. We certainly have emphasized the importance of numbers, not for numbers' sake, but because numbers represent souls. We've also talked about growing in the numbers of our giving, that we might be able to do a better job in the work of the Lord. It is important, however, for us to also talk about growth in service. If we ever allow ourselves just to think about what's within us and what's coming in our direction, failing to think about the needs that are around us, we will be a failure in the sight of God. Tonight we're talking about the subject, abound in every good work. Really, it is a lesson dealing with benevolence. Last Sunday evening, we talked about growth in the area of evangelism. I think all of us would agree that evangelism and benevolence are closely related. In fact, I have heard people discuss whether or not there's one basic purpose for the church or two. One would suggest that there is the purpose of evangelism and the purpose of benevolence, whereas someone else might say, no, the two are intertwined, and really our benevolent work is done in order to be able to evangelize. I would not argue the point either way. I realize that there are some who must be fed physically before they can be fed spiritually. I also realize that there are many fine Christian people who need financial and physical help. And so benevolence and evangelism are certainly intertwined. I want us to take our Bibles tonight and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Most of us are familiar with verse 7. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Let's begin tonight at verse 8 and continue through verse 13. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. There's where our text is in that verse. Continuing. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant unto also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whiles, by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. And by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. I especially call your attention to the latter part of verse 13. Your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. This suggests to us that we need to be interested in distributing to the necessity of people around us. Paul indicated that in Romans chapter 12. As much emphasis as is placed upon bringing in finances into the common store or treasury, the like amount of emphasis, and maybe more, needs to be placed upon the distribution, how it is used. It is not uncommon for someone who is leading the prayer in a service such as this to pray for our elders as they use that which is given to the work of the Lord. many times, even as someone leads a prayer just before we lay by in store. The words may be included something like this: Dear God, please bless our elders as they lead us in using these funds to preach the gospel and to help people throughout the world. I believe that that prayer is appropriate. We need to understand that our reaching out to help those who are less fortunate than we is extremely important in the work of the church. And we would be amiss, I think, if in this series of lessons dealing with the subject of growth, we did not think for a few minutes about the subject of growth in benevolence, or maybe to put it another way, growth in reaching out to help others. Let's just look at these verses that we have read in 2 Corinthians 9. Verse 8, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound in every good work. Three things are said basically in that verse. Number one, we need to learn to acknowledge our blessings. I know I am guilty of taking what I have for granted, and perhaps you do too. We are so affluent, we have so many blessings, that maybe we do not really stop and count them one by one, as we suggest in that song that we sometimes sing. But if we're going to be able to help others, we must realize how greatly blessed we are. And this suggests all sufficiency in all things. I believe we do, that we do have all sufficiency in all things. We're able to do what God wants us to do with His help. If we would quit complaining about what we might not have and appreciate what we have, we would enjoy life more and be able to do more to help others. A second thing that is mentioned in this verse is that we are to realize our abilities. Notice he said that he has given us all sufficiency in all things that we may abound. God's not asking us to do something beyond our ability. He is telling us to use the abilities that we have. Our abilities are different, as we noticed this morning in talking about the makeup of the church. There are some people who are better equipped to help in the benevolent area than others. There are some people who seemingly just thrive in being able to do something for others, where some may have a more difficult time. But all of us have abilities. And all of us need to use those abilities to reach out to help others. The third thing that's mentioned in this verse is that we are to abound in these good works. I think you know what the word abound means. You realize that it means to do a lot, to increase, to grow. We are to abound in every way. In Galatians, the 6th chapter, verse 10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto those who are of the household of faith. And we'll come back to this perhaps later and emphasize that there is a special need to take care of those who are Christians. But at this point, let's just notice that we are to be involved in every good work, that we are to reach out to take advantage of the calls that are there where we can serve God in these different ways. In Titus, the 2nd chapter and verse 1, or verse 7, he says, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works. In verse 14, he admonishes Titus to be zealous of good works. In chapter 3, verse 1, be ready to every good work. And in verses 8 and 14, learn to maintain good works. It's interesting to see that he talks about a pattern, being zealous, being ready, and maintaining good works. I believe, folks, that's what is involved in our abounding to every good work. And so verse 8 indicates that we are to acknowledge our blessings, realize our abilities, and then abound in every good work. Notice next verses 9 and 10. He hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor. If we're going to abound in every good work, we'll do a better job in that if we stop and realize that God loves the poor. Sometimes it is easy for us to fail to have the right attitude toward those who may be less fortunate than we. It's interesting that in Matthew 11, 4 through 5, when John sent to get information to prove to himself that this was the Christ, the Messiah, that along with other things that were sent back as factors in that information was emphasis upon the fact that the gospel was being preached to the poor. It's right in the middle of where the lame walk, the deaf hear, and those that are sick in other ways are healed. But Jesus thought it important to emphasize that the gospel is preached to the poor. Sometimes it's easy for us to overlook those who may be less fortunate. There may be those who live on the other side of the track or in a certain part of town who tend to go unnoticed. We need to realize that the gospel is for the poor. And sometimes those who are so poor need help in order to be able to eat and meet the necessities of life before they're really able to listen to the power of the gospel. This is where our benevolent attitude is involved, where we are to reach out. On one occasion, recorded in the book of Galatians, Paul indicates that he and Peter had a disagreement. But then he said, even though there was a disagreement, we decided to emphasize to each one that we were to remember the poor. And if we're going to be like God, we must have that same attitude also. Let us never allow ourselves to be caught up with enjoying the wonderful blessings that we have to the extent that we overlook those who may be our neighbors or at least not live very far away. Notice next verses 11 and 12 in this passage. You will notice the word thanksgiving or thanksgivings in each of these verses, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God, also by many thanksgivings unto God. I believe the emphasis in these verses is that we need to appreciate the opportunities that we have to be of service to others. I think I can truthfully say to you, knowing my own heart and my life, that one of the greatest blessings that I have is to be able to serve other people. I enjoy being needed, being able to reach out to do something for someone else. And I am sure that as a grandfather, when I give something to a grandchild or do something for that grandchild, that I get more benefit than the grandchild does. To be able to see someone who has been helped and to see appreciation on that person's face is one of the greatest blessings that I can find. And I think all of us need to be like that to some extent and are like that in many ways. Paul in chapter 2, verse 12, talked about a door of opportunity being opened unto him as he was preaching the gospel. I suggest to you tonight that there are many doors of opportunities that are opened unto us to be able to help people. Jesus went about doing good, Acts 10, 38. I like that description of his life. I think it really tells us who he was and what he was. We say we want to be like him. Can we be like him? If we fail to go about doing good, if we fail to take advantage of those opportunities that are there, some people complain because there are things that need to be done. Christian people bless God and thank Him because there are opportunities to be of service to other people. We need to appreciate our opportunities. We need to give our thanksgivings unto God and realize that He will open doors of opportunities for us to serve. Then there is verse 13, where he says in the latter part of the verse, after talking about the ministration of what we're doing, a word that's associated with ministry, helping others, that it's to be a liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. Does not the word liberal suggest that we're not to try to just get by in as cheap a way as we can? Sometimes when there is a clothes closet at church, people will bring their rags and leave it there. I've always felt that I did not want to give somebody else something if I were not willing to wear it. Oh, it may be something that I have used, but if I would not be willing to wear it somewhere, I don't want to give it to somebody else. We need to have a liberal attitude when we're reaching out to serve others. It's not right for us to think in terms of giving somebody a hamburger while we eat a steak. What I'm saying is that we need to realize that our attitude toward helping others is to be of a liberal nature. And notice the scope that is involved here. He says we are to help them, a pronoun that refers back to saints, and we are to help all. I've used this passage many times to show that the church can help those who are not Christians. Not only can, but must. Same thing is said there in Galatians 6:10, which we noticed earlier. As we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto those who are of the household of faith. We have an added responsibility to our brothers and sisters, just like I have an added responsibility to my wife and children. But my work is not limited to my brothers and sisters. And the distribution of help that is to go out is to be such that we take into consideration the needs of all people and try to help as many as we possibly can. We are to help the saints, yes, but we are to help all people. We are to be able to reach out. It's interesting to look at those passages in the Bible that talk about money being involved and money being carried from one place to another to help. In Romans 15:26-27, for it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution to the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. Verse 25, he says, I go to Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. A contribution had been made and given to him by different ones to take and help others in another place. In 1 Corinthians 16, where the passage is that we use so much to talk about giving upon the first day of the week as we've been prospered, I want you to notice what he says concerning the collection for the saints. And he said somebody's going to be sent to get this and take it to help others. Over in Acts 11, where every man gave according to his own ability, verses 29 and 30, the giving was in order to be able to send help to Jerusalem for those who were in need. I believe the Bible teaches that preachers are to be supported, and I believe there is every evidence that that support can come from the treasury of the church, especially when we study Galatians 6 and link verse 6 to verse 10. But it is still the case, folks, that in each of these areas, perhaps every area, where the idea is being talked about of taking up a collection, 1 Corinthians 16, Romans 15, Acts 11, here in chapters 8 and 9 of 2 Corinthians, that the basic idea involved was to be able to do benevolent work, to be able to help those who were in need. And I hope we never allow ourselves to become so involved in so many things that we forget that that's the case. In the church here at Henderson, we can be thankful that we are involved in many things. And it is very important that you realize that most of what we do in the area we're discussing tonight does not show up in our budget. In fact, many of the things that we do not cost very much, but we reach out to help others. But in ways where money is involved, we do so much for so many, by so many. If I were to ask tonight for every woman in this audience who has prepared food to take to someone when there's a death or sickness, I'm persuaded that perhaps half the audience would stand. And if I were to ask all of you who have, just on your own, as there was an opportunity, given somebody something to eat or given somebody something to wear or taken somebody somewhere when there was sickness, I know there would be many of you that would have the right to hold up your hand. And if I were to ask those of you who have given a word of encouragement to help a person who was down, I know that many of you could nod your head. I think sometimes when we look at our budget, we tend to think that we're not doing much in the area of benevolence. We send regularly to West Tennessee Children's Home. We send to the Birmingham School for the Deaf. We send to Agape. Many, many occasions we've sent through the Nashville Disaster Relief people and others to areas where there's been a tornado or a hurricane. The church here, as we do in other ways, has responded so many times in so many ways. And that shows up in our budget. But the majority of the work that's being done by the people in this congregation to abound in every good work doesn't show up in dollars and cents. It shows up in a dish of food. A little bit done here and a little bit done there. Just recently, I had an opportunity when I could not get in touch with Wayne Scott or Barry Smith or Larry McKenzie, those who work usually in helping people who come and request help. I had an opportunity to help a person personally. And I am sure that there are many of us who do that. You would be surprised to know how many people come to our doors on a regular basis here at the church building and to my front door asking for help. One of the things that's encouraging to me is that people in this community know that we will help. In fact, sometimes a person will come and say, "Is this the church that helps people?" I hope we never lose that reputation, that we are known throughout this community as a congregation of people who are interested in helping others, especially those who are down on their luck and those who are less fortunate. We need to abound in every good work. Appreciate our blessings, realize our abilities. Because God loves those who are poor, reach out to help in every way that we can. Accept our opportunities, appreciate them, and use them to help those who are saints and to help all men. I believe, folks, this is what Christianity is about. And if you're out there tomorrow and you have an opportunity to help someone, believe you me, you're representing Christ. And you don't have to wear a tag around your neck saying, "I'm a Christian," in order for people to understand and appreciate what you're doing. We just need to be busy in the service of God. The question tonight is, are you in the service of God? Are you a Christian? Are you serving Him? Are you living for Him? And if you are a member of His body, are you really serving Him and living for Him? If you've never obeyed the gospel, you need tonight to think about showing your faith and penitence by your confession and being baptized for the remission of sin. Or if you need to come asking for forgiveness or strength through prayer, you need to do that tonight. We need to get busy. We need to get busier in abounding in every good work. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation in either way, we encourage you to come as together we stand and sing.